He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Hear the voice of Sovereign Grace. The Voice of Sovereign Grace is co-hosted by various ministries who, in spite of their differences, all firmly believe in the doctrines of Sovereign Grace. Simply put, these ministries all proclaim the glorious truth that God alone saves sinners, because sinners cannot even help save themselves. Tonight's edition of The Voice of Sovereign Grace is hosted by Pastor Joe Lusardo of Bread of Life Fellowship in Wayne, New Jersey. For more details, visit bolfellowship.org. That's bolfellowship.org. Or call 866-38-BREAD. That's 866-38-BREAD. And now, here's tonight's host, Pastor Joe Lusardo of Bread of Life Fellowship of Wayne, New Jersey.
Thank you for tuning in this week to The Voice of Sovereign Grace. This is Pastor Joe Lusardo, and I want to first, in this season of Thanksgiving, thank you for tuning in to The Voice of Sovereign Grace. We enjoy the opportunity to come on the air, in particular, to teach what we believe to be a very important aspect of Christian doctrine, and that is the doctrines of God's sovereign grace. And we are excited that we have this opportunity to come to you each week and be a part of this team of the Voice of Sovereign Grace. And we'd love it if you could be a part of keeping programming like The Voice of Sovereign Grace on the air. And I'll be back at the end to let you know how you can help. If I were to tell you that you can summarize the gospel in two words, what would you say those two words would be? Well, in Ephesians chapter 2 are the words, but God made us alive. These two words, but God, in a sense, contain the whole gospel. They emphasize what God has done to initiate and to secure the salvation of his children because of his rich mercy and love in which he loved us. Salvation is something which comes completely from outside of oneself. And this is exactly what the doctrines of God's sovereign grace teach, that mankind is dead in his trespasses and sins, but yet God raises us to life in Christ. So let's take you into a service recorded a few years ago at Bread of Life Fellowship, where I was preaching out of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, but God. And I'll be back at the end to let you know how you can receive this teaching in its entirety. Anything and everything that our God does has a purpose. He does not act aimlessly, but he acts deliberately and with design. As we looked in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, we saw a glimpse of God's all-encompassing purpose from eternity past to eternity future. We saw these in the words predestined, purposed, the counsel of his will. Paul took us back to the beginning of time, showing us how God purposed to redeem a people for himself. Now, in the second chapter, we'll find exactly how it is that this eternal call works itself out in time as God creates a people, a redeemed society of individual sinners whom he saves by grace. Paul is never shy to express the true condition of mankind apart from Christ. Never shy. But he's even less shy to express the exceeding riches of the mercy and the grace of God. And he uses great superlatives. He uses one to set up the other. And all that is written in verses 1 to 3 about man is to set up and magnify and emphasize mercy and love and grace and kindness in verses 4 to 7, which is then to reveal to us that it is by grace that you're saved through faith, not of your own works, because you're dead. And that's what's clearly being emphasized here. Look at the intentionally lavish language that the Holy Spirit inspires Paul to use. Look at verse 4. But God, who is merciful? No. Rich in mercy. Because of his love? Because of his great love. Look down at verses 6 and 7. And raised us up together. Made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that the ages to come might show the exceeding riches
of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And these words don't even explain it as it can be explained, as it truly is. The language is to emphasize to us that all that man is not, God is. He is rich in mercy, plousios in Greek, rich, meaning He abounds in mercy. There's an endless supply of mercy, so much more mercy than man's guilt, so much more mercy than man's misery. As miserable and as hopeless a creature as you think you are, and I hope you know that you are apart from Christ, God is infinitely more merciful. Though mercy has been extended by God for 6,000 years to millions and millions of people, it remains an unexhausted mine of wealth. The word mercy is eleos in Greek, and this doesn't speak of a mere emotion, but it's a word of actual assistance. God's mercy is not sympathy. It's a sympathy which leads to comfort. In the same way today, we say, well, they're a merciful person. Well, why do we say that? Well, because they think deeply. No, a person who's truly merciful is not someone who feels deeply for another person, but one who does something to help them. And that is what God's mercy is about. God's mercy is linked continually to the keeping of His covenant, His faithfulness to His covenant, His covenant mercy. You see it time and again. He keeps His covenant and shows His mercy. Then also we read in verse 4 of His palein agapein, His great love, literally His multiplied love. And this is a love that is multiplied in fervor and in frequency. In other words, there's no dial on God's love. You can't dial it to 10 and exhaust God's love. It's a multiplied love. There's no gauge or dial. His love is off the charts. And there's no limit to God's love. It's infinite. God Almighty will never run out of resources or ideas of how to love you in Christ and express that love towards you. And as deeply dark as verses 1 to 3 were, Paul wants you to be absolutely sure that it's God's mercy, it's God's grace, it's God's love, and God's kindness that superexceed your wickedness. First, what we're going to do is set verse 1 over against verse 5. Let's look at that. Verse 1. We were dead in trespasses and sins. But God, now let's set that against verse 5. God what? Made us alive. You were dead, God made us alive. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Picture it this way. You're a dead man. You're rotting, stinking flesh and bones, lying in a grave. That is what we are. And one day God walks by this gravesite and He looks into it. Instead of turning away in disgust and holding His nose, as He rightfully could, He looks into the grave and He turns to His Son. And He says, Son, I want that mess in that grave, that stinking mess, I want it to live. Will you die so that he could be raised, so that she could be raised with you? And the Son says, yes, gladly, and He does it. That's mercy. That's great grace. That's great news. That's how you got saved. And if you're not saved, then you're still in that grave, stinking, rotting, ugly, and disgusting, with no hope but God. And if you would but believe but God, if you would but believe those two words, you too may be raised. And the only alternative is somehow you think, as that rotting, stinking corpse, you're going to get yourself up out of there. But you can't do it. But God can. He is the resurrection and the life. His death grants pardon, gives us forgiveness so that we might be raised. But then also His life raises us, literally. It gives us liberation. It gives us freedom so that we might live for Him. So now let's put verse 2 over against verse 6. In verse 2, we find ourselves to be an enslaved people. Enslaved by the spirit of the world, enslaved by the power of Satan, the prince of the power of the air, under his influence, being pulled by the course of the world. But God delivers us and frees us and what? verse 6, puts us in heaven beside His Son. He seats us in heavenly places. And all of this is stated in the past tense. It's a completed action. This is not a future blessing here. This is already true of you in Christ. Do you believe it? I'll tell you, if you believe it, then the things of earth, the mud, the toys, the world and its ways, and all the things in this world will have no effect on you. Because God has called you out of it, and you're no longer a citizen there now. Philippians 3:20 tells you, your citizenship is in heaven, in heavenly places. So thirdly, let's put verse 3 now against verse 7. Children of wrath we were, verse 3, but God. Basically, what verse 7 is a promise to you and I who are in Christ, a promise of eternal displays of grace directed towards you. Instead of children destined for God's punishment, objects of His anger, created for destruction, we in Christ are recreated into objects of grace, vessels of honor, recreated by God to display His glorious grace and to be the recipients of that grace. We were dead, but now we're alive. We were slaves to Satan, but now we're free and seated in heavenly places. We were children of wrath, but now we're children of promise, promised to be the recipients of endless displays of grace. Now, in light of all this, how then do we live? Look at the book of Colossians chapter 3, because it has the answer. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. If you have been raised with Christ, here's your response. If you have been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ. It's natural. If you've been raised with Christ, seek the things which are above. Set your mind on those things, because you're dead to the things of this life. Live as aliens and as strangers, no longer citizens in this world, needing the things of this world. I got to accumulate as much stuff, because you know what? I'm getting old, and what's going to happen? If you've been born again, heaven is your home. God is your home. And I hope you're feeling homesick. That's what it means to be saved. To be saved is to be free from the matrix of the world system, which keeps its citizens in bondage. But now, heaven governs your tastes. Heaven has a hold on your affections. Heaven infiltrates your life. And that you're constantly being called upward again and again to be with Jesus in the heavenly places. And that's why, by the way, your husband who's unsaved, or your wife, or your children, or your mother, or your father, or your friends, or anyone who remains a citizen in this world, thinks you're pretty strange. If they think you're pretty strange, you're doing good. Because you are. You're an alien. That's how this doctrine works out in practice. That's how it works out. If I believe this message, if I believe this, if I know I have been raised, freed, and set in the heavenlies, I will not, I cannot pin my hopes or my affections on anything in this world. Whether it be a house or a car or a person, you realize that this earth is a vapor if you believe this. If you believe this, you're not afraid of evil. Your heart is constantly trusting the Lord. You're not afraid of what might come against you. It's like we were captured by an enemy force and taken off somewhere and brainwashed. You were made to believe somehow that joy comes being a citizen in this world. And we're brainwashed to believe this. And we live as if this is true. This present condition of slavery is somehow more fun. But God infiltrates enemy lines. He breaks into the system with a word of truth. And He awakens you to the true reality of where you are. And suddenly you look around and you're free from the stupor. And you say, this isn't home. This isn't real joy. There's more. And you start to realize and you become homesick for God. Because He's your Father and He's adopted you now. You're not his enemy any longer. You're adopted. You're co-children with Christ. And you long to be with him. And all hell will be loosed against you. This is the victory, even our faith. What a message. This is good news. This is the good news that we have to give to the wretched, distracted, unhappy, confused, and frustrated world. We are wretched, distracted, unhappy, confused, and frustrated people. But God, and don't forget, you will learn to evangelize the right way. Don't leave out but God. Yes, the law needs to point out sin, but do not leave out but God. Because that's really what we're called to do. You know, we're citizens of heaven, but God says, don't come up here just yet. Stay down there, live like aliens, be among them. You have different values, different affections, but you live as an exile. And when it's time to come home, I want you to bring as many with you as you can. Now, in conclusion, all of this is only possible because of one particular but God, and I want to show you that in Acts chapter 13. One but God event occurred in history, changed the world. Acts 13, the Apostle Paul is preaching in the synagogue in Antioch, and he's speaking about the crucifixion of the Messiah. Acts 13, verse 28. And though they found no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. Now, when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in the tomb. And now, verse 30, the hinge of history. But God raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. The rulers of this world conspired to kill him. And they accomplished what they sought to do. Though he was innocent, they tried him. They found him guilty. In a mockery of justice, they nail him to a cross. They lay him in a tomb. And they even roll a stone in front of that tomb. But death could not hold him, brothers and sisters. Death had no sting. Because he lived a perfectly righteous life. The law of sin and death had no power to hold him there. So on the third day, he rose from the grave victoriously with great power, a power that shook the world, changed the course of the universe, a resurrection in which not only is one man raised, as it was with the case of Lazarus, but in Christ, he is raised, and we too who are united to him by faith are raised with him. Romans 8:11, but the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. 1 Corinthians 6:14, and God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. We were dead in sin, but God made us alive. We were captive to an alien power, led about by the spirit of this age. But God delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and made us sit with Christ in heavenly places. We were children of wrath, doomed for destruction. But God promised eternal displays of kindness in grace. And you who would say, there's no hope for me, I'm a doomed child of hell, well, read on. But God, what hope? Because if God can raise the dead, think what he could do with your situation. You who are dealing with rebellious children, but God. An unsaved spouse, but God. A dead-end job, but God. Difficult financial situations, but God. Overcome with the sin, but God. Health challenges, but God. Hopeless and helpless in a situation, you fill it in, but God. And I hope and pray and ask God that those two words will ring in your ears so that every threat that comes to your joy, every threat that comes to your peace, every spiritual attack that would seek to rob you of what you know to be true in Christ, you would smash it with those words. But God. But God made me alive. But God freed me from Satan. But God gave me an eternal future and infinite grace. God determined by the blood of his beloved Son, for the sake of his own glory, to do good to a people. He purposed it out of the sheer goodness of his nature to spend all of His glorious riches of His grace to shower you with diamonds forever and ever. There's nothing more I can add to this. How do you improve on this truth? Other than to say that perhaps someone listening to this and you're thinking, you know, I'm on the outside looking in. You're talking about the people of God, the children of God. I'm not sure that I'm in that number. And I want to be, because you know what? This sounds so good. God tells you how to be in that number. Look down at verse 8 of Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. If you've not been born again, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's how you're counted into the number. The answer is faith. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. Trust Jesus. Make Him the focal point in your life. Trust that His death is sufficient to pay for your sin. He died to pay the penalty for the sins past, present, and future. You deserve that penalty, but He took your place. Lay all of your trust upon Him who alone is able to make you alive, to raise you with Him, to seat you in heavenly places with Christ, to make you a trophy of His grace.
Hi, this is Pastor Joe Lissardo from Bread of Life Fellowship in Wayne, New Jersey. There's so much more of this message that we couldn't air, but if you'd like to listen to it in its entirety, you can find it online at our website or at sermonaudio.com. Just look for it by the name But God. If you'd like for us to send you a free CD of this message, send us an email at info@bolfellowship.org or visit our website, www.bolfellowship.org. That's www.bolfellowship.org. Or call us toll-free at 1-866-38-BREAD. That's 1-866-38-BREAD. Again, toll-free, 1-866-38-BREAD. And be sure to leave your mailing information, and we'll be happy to send you a CD. I'm going to take the last couple of minutes that I have with you to let you know how you can participate in keeping programming like The Voice of Sovereign Grace on the air. If you're like us, you believe that it is important that programming that is proclaiming the glory of God in salvation and the historic doctrines of the Christian faith ought to continue to be on the airwaves of this radio station. We are one of four small churches that are involved in The Voice of Sovereign Grace in keeping this program on the air, and radio time is expensive. As we close out this year, we're in the midst of looking at our financial state. And of course, our priorities lie in keeping the church running. So radio is a secondary priority. However, we would like to continue to be on the air, and staying on the air is going to be dependent upon us receiving the donations of friends and partners with this ministry. So if you believe in keeping a voice for Sovereign Grace on the air, and would like to participate with us in keeping this program on the air, would you consider giving a year-end donation of any amount to us? You can donate at our website, www.bolfellowship.org. Just click on the donation button, and you can donate through PayPal that way. Or consider sending a year-end gift to the ministry to Bread of Life Fellowship, P.O. Box 133, New Milford, New Jersey, 07646. Again, write your check to Bread of Life Fellowship. You can put in the memo that it's for The Voice of Sovereign Grace, but write the check to Bread of Life Fellowship, P.O. Box 133, New Milford, New Jersey, 07646. Or any of the other three churches that are part of The Voice of Sovereign Grace, I'm sure would appreciate the opportunity to continue this program on the air through your donations. Again, send your donation to Bread of Life Fellowship, and that's at P.O. Box 133, New Milford, New Jersey, 07646. P.O. Box 133, New Milford, New Jersey, 07646. Until next time, this is Pastor Joe Lusardo for the entire Bread of Life Fellowship Church, exhorting you to keep listening to God's voice of sovereign grace.
In the 10th chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus tells us, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life." Have you heard the voice of Christ, the Good Shepherd, calling you to himself through tonight's broadcast? If so, take up your cross and follow him. Thank you for listening to tonight's edition of The Voice of Sovereign Grace, which was sponsored by Bread of Life Fellowship of Wayne, New Jersey. For more details, visit bolfellowship.org. That's bolfellowship.org, or call 866-38-BREAD, 866-38-BREAD. That's 866-38-BREAD. For a list of all the ministries who co-host The Voice of Sovereign Grace, visit voiceofsg.org. That's voiceofsg.org. We hope you tune in every week to The Voice of Sovereign Grace.